Father, I just thank you tonight that your children did. That I have had some testimonies where the people did have a better day because it's walking in the Spirit. Now I'm asking, Father God, you keep watering that seed that was planted last night until it grows into a full tree and the fruit is good to eat. And Father, tonight I'm asking you to open up the spiritual ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, let this seed be planted into good soil tonight where it will take root and it will grow. And Father, I thank you for it in my name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight I want to teach on a forgiving heart. During the last hours of this age, there will be two opposing factions in the world. Number one, those whose hearts are wrought with bitterness, resentment, and hatred. And number two, those whose love has actually increased and who are experiencing the power of the kingdom of God. And if you read anything on the email, the Elijah list knows they're all talking about love. You have to get your love walk together. You have to be saturated in the love of God. Jesus foretold these conditions in Matthew 24:10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. We're living in Matthew 24:10-12 right now. Those three verses describe the church right now. Then he added in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. What is the gospel of the kingdom? It is the whole truth that Jesus came to bring. Not only that which saves us from our sins, but also that which creates us in his image. Let's repeat that. What is the gospel of the kingdom? It is the whole truth that Jesus came to bring. Not only that which saves us from our sins, but also that which creates us in his image. Isn't that what God's been trying to teach us here? That we are created in his image. It is the full gospel and all its requirements and all its rewards. The full price for the full power. It is the most glorious pearl that man can possess. The presence of God in glory revealed within and among us. The presence of God in glory revealed within and among us. If we are to attain this great love, we will continually be forced. You hear that? We will continually be forced to make the choice between mercy and unforgiveness. God's not going to let up on that. If we do not walk in a forgiving attitude, we will certainly become prey to an embittered spirit. If we do not walk in a forgiving attitude, we will certainly become prey to an embittered spirit. And I hope each one of you do what I did last night after I got through with this. As I went before the Lord and I just truly forgave everybody that ever did anything wrong to me in all my life, because I don't want any kind of unforgiveness within me. I just sat there and just emptied myself out to God. I don't know if it's in there or not, but he does. If there was anything, God, in there, that, and I just named everything that people did to me, and I said, I've forgiven them, but if I'm still holding on to it, I want you to take it right now. I don't want an embittered heart. And this is what each one of us have to do. So that's the only way you get free. You continually check yourself and empty out of anything that you think might be there to keep you bound. So I said, if we do not walk in a forgiving attitude, in other words, your attitude should be no matter who you run across that day, what they do to you, you already forgive them before they ever did anything to you. We will certainly become prey to an embittered spirit. If it is indeed God's plan to allow wickedness and holiness to grow simultaneously to full maturity, then we must guard our hearts beforehand from reacting in bitterness and unforgiveness. The wheat and the tare are going to grow together, right? So then we must guard our hearts beforehand. In other words, get your heart ready right now. For anything that might come your way so that you don't react in bitterness and unforgiveness. The increasing lawlessness will certainly give us occasions to lose love. You hear me? The increasing lawlessness will certainly give us occasions to lose love. In order to just survive in this cruel world, human nature often withdraws from the vulnerability of love. That's just a given. We've all done that. We all built our little walls and said, this far, no further, right? So I said, in order to just survive in this cruel world, human nature often withdraws from the vulnerability of love. We cannot choose cautious, selective love and also walk in the power of God's kingdom. We cannot choose cautious, selective love and also walk in the power of God's kingdom. To counter pain, we unconsciously shut down our love. To counter pain, we unconsciously shut down our love. For it is love that makes us vulnerable. God wants us to be a people whose love is growing hot, not cold. Remember when I was first born again, God said, in order for me to use you, your heart has to be open to be hurt. And if it's not, I can't use you. Your heart has to be open to be hurt if you're going to be a child of God. So I said, God wants us to be a people whose love is growing hot and not cold. Jesus did not say we had to trust our enemies, but he did say that we had to love them. Be people you don't trust, but you have to love them anyhow. You ask why? One reason God allows difficulties is to test us. He wants to see if our Christianity is merely an intellectual pursuit or if following him is truly the highest passion of our hearts. I see some of you saying, well, I've been through enough of those tests, right? Matthew 5:44, Jesus tells us to, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is Jesus speaking. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Don't tell me that you do all that, because I know better. The church is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Some sitting in here tonight have gone through rejection and betrayal, right? But the Lord says, you did not fail. You have continued to love. Although you went through great pain, you have forgiven those who have hurt you. You passed a test. All right? Some of you still have certain individuals in your lives that you have not forgiven and whom you do not love. Perhaps you are right. They do not deserve your forgiveness, but what you do not realize is a consequence of your anger. Say that again. Some of you still have certain individuals in your lives. This is the point where I went to God and said, if there's anything, all right? Some of you still have certain individuals in your lives that you have not forgiven and whom you do not love. Perhaps you are right. They do not deserve your forgiveness, but what you do not realize is a consequence of your anger. As long as you refuse to forgive, a part of you is trapped in the past, where you are continually being reminded of your pain. Until you forgive, you will not be fully released to go on with your life. As long as you refuse to forgive, a part of you is trapped in the past where you are continually being reminded of your pain. Until you forgive, you will not be fully released to go on with your life. There is only one way we can have true fellowship with God, and that is in the here and now. All right? When you live in the past, you are cut off from God. What they did to you is over. It is done. It does not have any real existence or life of its own except in your mind. And isn't your mind a mess? Right there within you, the conflict continues to lie. And as long as it lives, you are still being hurt by it. The person who wounded you may have long since died. That person cannot be blamed, for you are the one who keeps your wounds alive. Let's read that again. Right there within you, the conflict continues to lie. And as long as it lives, you are still being hurt by it. The person who wounded you may have long since died. That person cannot be blamed, for you are the one who keeps your wounds alive. And that's why I think with Katie's teaching about your soul, you're the one who keeps those soul wounds alive, and it's up to you to get them healed. Not only is the quality of your spiritual life affected, but your physical well-being pays a price as well. As long as you keep holding on to the burden of what someone did to you, each time you think about that person, your stomach acids churn and your anxiety increases. Your body is continually put under stress. Are you getting this? Even you young kids sitting in here. If you do not forgive those who have hurt you, you will lose a measure of your capacity to love. You see that? If you do not forgive those who have hurt you, you will lose a measure of your capacity to love. Whether they deserve forgiveness or not, you deserve a better life. And God wants to give you a better life. But you cannot enjoy abundant life while carrying unforgiveness, for you are shackled to something that hurt you, and your own unforgiveness tortures you. Let's read that again. I want you to really get this in your spirit tonight. If you have an unforgiving heart, don't be concerned about the glory, because you're not going to get it. All right? If you do not forgive those who have hurt you, you will lose a measure of your capacity to love. Whether they deserve forgiveness or not, you deserve a better life. And God wants to give you a better life. But you cannot enjoy abundant life while carrying unforgiveness, for you are shackled to something that hurt you, and your own unforgiveness tortures you. I think about married people when I read this. You know, a husband will run around on a wife, right? A wife will stay with them for some unknown reason, and then eventually the husband leaves, and the wife goes to pieces. Well, look what he did to me. How dare he do this? But you allowed it to happen. You didn't have to put up with that. You could have walked away unless God told you not to. You could walk away. So don't go blame the person who left you. I gave them the best years of my life. Well, that's what you did. Walk away from it. You did that. Now forgive them. Forgive yourself for being stupid. And just go on and walk in the love of God, right? Come on. I was talking to Teresa Ann today. I said, I was trying to counsel her about something. I said, well, honey, I know that I did just the opposite, but I learned. So I'm trying to keep you from making the same mistake that I made, right? Come on. How do you get out of that prison? How do you find the protection of God for your soul? God called you to forgive. You must see the hands of God reaching to you in the midst of your pain. You must see the hands of God reaching to you in the midst of your pain. You know, I just said earlier about you're going through a test. And if you're still going through testing, it's because your love walk isn't right yet. And God's still trying to get your love walk perfected. If you don't get your love walk perfected, you don't have a calling. You do not have a calling. Because if you can't love, God's not going to send you out there in the midst of a bunch of people that are messed up and need love. He's not going to do that. You have to get this love walk right. Well, you don't understand. Maybe I don't understand, but you'd be surprised what I do understand. But God understands all things, and that's who you have to go to. It's God. And he's telling you, I'm not telling you to forgive. He's telling you to forgive. You know? You must see the hands of God reaching to you in the midst of your pain. He wants to redeem that conflict, using that specific adversity to perfect character in you. It will be this event that he will use to make you like Christ. He wants to redeem that conflict, using that specific adversity to perfect character in you. So your character is not perfected yet, is it? It will be this event that he will use to make you like Christ. Each time you say, Father, I choose to love, I choose to forgive, I choose to forget and not hold bitterness and unforgiveness against that person, you are taking on Christ's nature. Are you listening here? I know somebody's speaking witchcraft over me, and I know who it is, and sometimes you're like, the other day I was sick as a dog. Next day I was fine. But I can't hold unforgiveness against that person. I keep asking, have to ask God, please forgive them, for they really do not know what they're doing. They really don't. They're touching the apple of God's eye, one of his chosen people. And you know, and I'm just, each one of you, when somebody, they're touching the apple of his eye, you are a chosen child of God. And when they come against you, they really don't know what they're doing. But now if I hold unforgiveness against that person because I spent a day and a night terribly sick and pain and everything, then I'm as bad as they are. Because I know better. I'm a child of God. And I'm supposed to forgive and pray for that person who's doing the witchcraft over me. Praying me dead. Are you listening? Come on. Rejoice. Jesus has taken over your heart. You're entering the stronghold of God. If you say that I choose to love, I choose to forgive, I choose to forget and not hold bitterness and unforgiveness against that person, you're taking on the Christ nature. You should be rejoicing because Jesus is taking over your heart. You're entering the stronghold of God. Amen. Love is God's preservative. We need to understand there will be a time when each of us will stand before Jesus Christ and he will open a door called reality past. There we will gaze into the days of our earthly existence. Brother Brett told you, that's what God did with him. Jesus will not only commend our lives in a general way, but he will point to specific things we did. Rejoicing together with us, he will say, well done. Perhaps there was a special act of kindness that turned a bitter person back toward God. Or perhaps you overcame your fears and led a person to Christ whom God then used to win thousands. But then he also could say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you if you don't have forgiveness in your heart. Brother Brett said what he saw was every single solitary person he ever met in his life, right? Everything you said or did to them was spoken to you, right? And he said he felt so bad you couldn't hardly hold your head up, right? But he had that. So God was showing him what he did. And God was saying to him, don't do it no more. Amen? Come on. When God gives you a vision, you have to understand he is relaying a message to you, and he expects you, if you don't understand what the message is, go to him and find out what is the message he's trying to relay to you. Now, in the Latin translation of the Bible, the phrase, well done, is rendered bravo. How would you like Jesus to say that to you? Imagine him with his arm around your shoulder saying, bravo. You were just an average person, but you trusted me. You learned to love without fear. Look how many hearts we touched together. To be so pleasing to Christ that he rejoices over the life we give him should be our highest goal. To be so pleasing to Christ that he rejoices over the life we give him should be our highest goal. Love in the midst of pressure. It is right here in a world filled with devils, devil-possessed people, and conflicts of all sorts that we must find the life of Christ. Right here, right now. In fact, Jesus warned about the great tribulation. One meaning of the word tribulation is pressure. You know, whenever I said I went before God and, you know, brought everybody before him that hurt me, he brought something before me that I didn't realize I was carrying. Somebody caused my mother to want to die. And I didn't realize, because I loved my mother and I had a wonderful relationship, I didn't realize I was holding unforgiveness toward that person. So I forgave them. Because I said, God, I didn't realize I was doing it. So you might be holding unforgiveness against a person that you don't even realize you're holding that to. All right? So just please check yourself out. Bring God into the situation and let him show you what it is you're really doing. One meaning of the word tribulation is pressure. We all know that stress and pressure has been increasing upon people. In spite of these tensions, God has called us to love secondly. Hallelujah, right? If we do not counteract the stress of this age with love, we will crumble beneath the weight of offenses. There used to be a time when you could go into a supermarket and see a shopping cart full of bent food cans. Remember those days? Most had lost their labels. You could buy a half dozen for a dollar or two. Often what has happened is that the atmospheric pressure outside the can was greater than the pressure inside, and the can collapsed. It could not withstand the pressure. In the same manner, we must have an aggressive force pushing from the inside out that is equal to the pressure trying to crumble us from the outside. Let's say that again. In the same manner, we must have an aggressive force pushing from the inside out that is equal to the pressures trying to crumble us from the outside. That's why God says we have to be bold in this stage that we're in. It's boldness that's going to have that aggressive force to come against that force on the outside that's trying to destroy us. We need the pressure of God's love pouring out through us, neutralizing the pressure of hatred and bitterness in the world. We need the pressure of God's love pouring out through us, neutralizing the pressures of hatred and bitterness in the world. Yeah, do you have anybody in your life that no matter how nice you are to them, they're about a bummer, right? You know? And boy, they test your love walk every second, don't they? You have to say, "Dear Lord, I forgive them." You know, and you really have to mean it. That's the enemy. He has that pressure. And he's trying to get you not to love that person. And sometimes he does a very good job. You get right there, and then you go, "Oh, I can't, I love that person, devil. Get out of here," right? Well, that's the devil trying to get you to get out of God's will, get you out of God's love walk, so he can destroy you. Love is God's preservative. It surrounds our souls with a power greater than the power of the devil and the world around us. Love is God's preservative. It surrounds our souls with a power greater than the power of the devil and the world around us. It keeps us balanced. It insulates us against the hostility that exists in our world. Love is the shelter of the Most High. It is a substance of God's stronghold. I know for a fact, I'm just not saying this, that there's people in this church tonight that still do not have their love walk perfected. You say, "I'm going to love." Well, just about the time you say, "I'm going to love," then this devil says, "Oh, yeah?" And then he'll put pressure on you. Next thing you know, you're acting like he wants you to act. You're acting like a fool. And you're not loving the way God wants you to love. And you can't pretend this love either. This is a real love that comes from the very depth of your soul. And the devil won't be able to take that from you if it's really embedded in you like that. You all know the person I had to ask to forgive me. Because for years they did something very, very bad to me. And then God said, "You have to forgive them." I said, "I didn't do anything. You talked about them." So I went to them and said, "You know, would you please forgive me for?" I got down on my hands and knees. "Will you please forgive me for talking about you?" You know the story. They smugly said, "Well, I don't know if I want to or not." Well, at that point, you want to reach up and slap them, you know. So I stayed there and said, "God, give me grace." Stayed on my knees and give me grace. And slowly I got up and I said, "Well, it doesn't matter if you forgive me or not. I did what God told me to do." And you know, the world dropped off my shoulders at that point. I was free. I was free to do the things God called me to do. Amen. The person hasn't told me yet to this day that he accepted that forgiveness. But that doesn't matter. I did my part. It doesn't matter how they acted. I stayed there and said, "God, grace," until I knew I had grace. And I got up and I was free. Each one of you are going to have to do that in your life too. If you want the signs, wonders, and miracles that God gave you last night, if you want them to start manifesting, you're going to have to get to that place. You're going to have to get to the place where you're going to be able to forgive even before they hurt you. You know they're going to do something bad to you. You just know it. And God's even shown it to you, but you're going to have to already forgive them before it ever happens. Now, if you can get to that place, you're in a good place with God. But if you can't get in that place, then I'd be really praying really hard every second of every day for my love walk to be perfected. Because God is love. God is love. It's love that's causing God to do what he's doing right now. You know, when you correct your children, you still love them. You know, my kids say, you don't love me no more. I said, me correcting you has nothing to do with me loving you. I'm correcting you because I do love you. I don't want you to turn out to be somebody really bad. I don't want you working for the devil. I want you to work for Jesus. So, you know, when God corrects us, he says he's going to bring his rod of wrath, does he not? When he corrects us, we ought to love him even all the more that he still loves us so much, even though we've been really dumb. That he loves us so much, he's not going to let the devil have us. That he's going to come to us, and he's going to explain to us what we've done wrong, and say, if you do it again, you're really in deep trouble. And then he keeps on loving us. Love is the foundation that built the world, right? Love is what has kept the world still going. The Baal idols and all that kind of stuff they're erecting are the devil trying to stop love from working. But we cannot allow that to stop our love from working because we are set apart, right? We are peculiar. We are different. And we still love. Doesn't matter what anybody is doing to us. We still love. I can preach this because I walk this. See, it's God tests me over and over again because I have to know what I'm saying in order to preach something with sincerity and with conviction. I know that you can love the unlovable. I know that you can love those who step on you day after day after day after. I know you can do that. I know you can love your children even though they keep coming against you. I know you can do that because God has made me do that. All right? Now, I could get upset with you people because y'all are the ones that made the revival stop. But I still love you. I might smack you after a bit. But I still love you. Amen? So, what's wrong with you? Why can't you love? You young kids, some of you don't even love. You don't love your parents the way you ought. Or you wouldn't talk back to them. You wouldn't be rebellious. I'm serious about this. You would obey your parents and do what they're telling you to do. If you truly had love in you, if you truly loved your parents, you would obey them. That's just a given. And the Word of God says if you don't obey your parents, then you're going to be cursed. If you want to prosper, you're supposed to obey your parents, right? How many kids do you see not obeying their parents nowadays? It's a mess, isn't it? But I can't have any. They might be in a hole somewhere. Because kids are a mess. They're rebellious as they can be. But you still have to love them. So how many of you in here tonight, if you don't have a forgiving heart, you would like a forgiving heart? You know? You have to forgive all those people that did all that bad stuff to you. And you can't hold on to it. You can't be dreaming about it. You can't be thinking about it. You know, the only time you talk about it is as a testimony. You know? Because if you allow it to eat you up, you're going to be gone. It's a cancer, this unforgiveness is. And you have to have a forgiving heart. When you get married, like Nancy and Brett did, she just thought her life was going to be so wonderful. Then she found out her husband wasn't as wonderful as she thought he was going to be. And she found out she was in hell and she had to keep loving him. Come on. And she has to keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving. She liked to kick him in the butt, but she keeps forgiving and keep, right? Isn't that the way it goes? Sure it does. We all go through this. I just use her as an example. I could use some of you others. We just have to keep loving because that's what God's word tells us we are. We're love vessels. We aren't searching for love because we come born again. We have Jesus Christ in us and he is love. The love is there. We just have to work on that love walk and increase it to the place where the enemy cannot ever steal it from you ever again. Amen. You know, we have messed up kids because they had messed up parents. Teresa and I was discussing, I think, in fact, I was really upset about it. And she said, it's a shame because she knows about four families that the kids don't know what good is. They've never seen good because all they've ever seen is drugs and drinking and fighting and cursing and men or women drug in and out of the house. So the kids now are, you know, 15, 16, and this is the way they're living because they think that's life. And there's no love. No love, yelling and screaming and slapping. No love, because they were never shown love. So, you know, what did you show your children growing up, as they were growing up? What did you show them? Now, if the Bible says if you train a child in the ways they should go when they're young, they will go back to that. Now, my family all knows love. Believe me, they know love. And they might have strayed, but they're coming back to that. Are you listening here? So whatever you as a parent placed in your children's lives, that's what they'll revert back to. If you did nothing but evil is going to come to them. Unless God gets a hold of them and delivers them from the lie that the enemy told them is life. Yeah, I'm hearing God say, the buck stops right here. Somebody has to change. Somebody has to say, this is enough. This is where the rubber meets the road, and I'm going to change. I might not have been a loving person 20 minutes ago, but from now on, I'm going to be a loving person. And as you said, that the devil said, oh, really now? He did. He's standing right there. He heard you. And you're going to say, yeah, really now. And then you're going to have to fight him, and you're going to have to work on your love walk second after second after second after second. Until you get it perfected. And when you stand before God, you're not going to say, well, God, it was hard. It was hard for Jesus to be beat and carry his cross at Calvary. It was hard. But he did it because of love. Amen. Abraham wanted a son so bad he got a son. He loved that son with everything. That was his. It was his apple of his eye. But God said, give me your son. And Abraham said, all right, he loved God more. Amen. But then look what God did. Abraham proved that he loved the Father and he was obedient and faithful. And God said, over there in the thicket is a sacrifice. Amen. So how is God testing you tonight? And what are you doing about the test? Is he treating you like he is Abraham, wanting to take something precious away from you? In your eyes, that's what he's trying to do. But in reality, he's trying to teach you something. You're being tested to the limit. Think about this. What is God really doing to you? He's trying to make you have a forgiving heart. No, I'm sorry. He's not making you do that. He's trying to teach you to have a forgiving heart. You have to forgive all those people that didn't understand you and treated you wrong. All right? Because, you know, a lot of people never did understand you when you was growing up. They just didn't understand you. And so because they didn't understand you, they thought you was nuts and treated you bad. Come on. Forgive them, for they didn't know what you were doing. They didn't know to go to God and say, what is wrong with them? What's eating them today? Are you understanding this? Forgive, and then God said, and forget, and continue to love. Love is your foundation. Without love, you don't have a foundation. I had a stepmother who was as cruel as she could be, but I never held any unforgiveness against her, and I never once held any bit of bitterness against her. After all, there were six of us, and then she had five of her own. She had 11 kids. The six of us slept in one bedroom, and she had the other ones bedrooms of their own. But then she had to cook after us and clean after us, and I don't know what I'd have done in that situation. Are you listening? But see, I made that decision growing up in that house until she kicked us all out. I made that decision to love her no matter how mean and hateful she was, and she was mean and hateful. She had the devil in her. And her goal every morning was to see how miserable she could make us. Every morning, whether it was cold, rainy, sunshine, or what, she would get all six of us up, make us put on our little outfits that we had, and kick us out the door and lock the door and make us stay out all day long. Wouldn't feed us. And she couldn't stand me because I loved her. She couldn't stand the love. She really couldn't. She didn't do anything good for me, but she really didn't even want to look at me because she couldn't stand that love that didn't come against her. My other brothers and sisters came against her. They called her names and everything else. And so then they got beat. But she never touched me. And, you know, she died a horrible death. Her own five children totally rejected her. Wouldn't go see her. She died a terrible, lonely death. See, she planted bad seeds and she got a bad crop. Right? Now, I could have hated her. I could have done all kind of things. But that wasn't my makeup. You know, when my mother and father divorced, it really tore. We had a beautiful, happy family. We was well-to-do and everything else. But, you know, I never held that against them because I don't know what I would have done in that situation. See, why do you want to hold things against people? Because you weren't in that situation. You don't know what you would have done. You don't know what for decision you would have made. Are you listening? We make mistakes that destroy not only our own lives, every life around about you. That's why God is saying, you know, that we need to walk in love. And then we won't be making those mistakes. We won't hurt ourselves and everybody else around about us. All right? Come on. This is a prayer I want us to say tonight. Lord, I see in your forgiveness of me the pattern for my forgiveness of others. Lord, you forgave the Pharisees who lied about you. You pardoned the soldiers who mocked and crucified you. You encouraged your disciples' hearts to not be troubled, knowing they were about to deny and betray you. Yet, you not only forgave them, but you also died for them. You opened your heart as wide as the universe and welcomed all to be reconciled to God. Grant me the power to forgive as you forgave, to lay down my life for others, to know the love that compelled you to such righteousness. Lord, forgive me for looking for some other means of protection besides your love. Truly, pressures have increased upon my life. Stress multiplies daily in my world. Lord, grant me the eternal equalizer, love. Grant that I would walk in such surrender to you that the power of your love would unceasingly emanate from my soul. Amen. You know, we're all crying out for revival. We're all crying out for signs, wonders, and miracles. But God is crying out, have a forgiving heart. And then all these other things will be multiplied unto you. There isn't one of us in this room that somebody has not mutilated us. Not a one of us. We've gone through seasons of so much pain, we thought we could never endure another season of pain. But here we are. God's chosen children, that he forgave, that he loved. And he's still holding us in his strong right hand, still saying, come on, you can do this thing. My son endured, you can endure. Let's do this thing together. Tonight, God's asking us to love one another and everybody that we meet from this day forward. to have this forgiving heart so that you forgive before they ever touch you, ever say anything mean about you or to you, that you just forgive. What a testimony it is to be able to tell people, I was just about crucified, but God in His love saw me through it. God in His... See, it's love. It's just love. It's the love in you. It's a love that you really can't even explain. You just... Somebody can hurt you 1 minute, next minute you can just be talking, laughing, just be so full of enjoyment, you know, with them. It's because love abides deep within inside of you, and you aren't remembering what they just said to you. You're not remembering what they just did to you. That's done and over with. That's already forgotten, given, right? And now we just keep right on, right? The church has not learned the aspect of that walk of love yet. How dare she talk to me like that? Blah, 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 for 2-3 days. You know, when I talk to you, my conversation is over now. I'm ready to go on with life. You know, come on. And your conversation should be over too. And you should be ready to go on with life. But instead of walking in offense, you should be walking in love. Amen? Come on. God told me, daughter, don't go down that road of offense. Don't go down that road.